From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I've chosen three articles today that talk about different topics. One will look at the results of double versus triple antithrombotic therapy in patients having a PCI and who also have AFib. We'll talk about factors associated with 90-day readmission after stroke. And then lastly, we'll take a look at a recent randomized trial looking at the value of adding irbesartan in Marfan syndrome for preventing aortic dilation over time. So let's get started. This first paper was entitled The Safety and Efficacy Outcomes of Double versus Triple Antithrombotic Therapy in Patients with Atrial Fibrillation Following PCI. And it was in the European Heart Journal this past week. And the question was, comparing double to triple antithrombotic therapy in AF patients with PCI, what's the rate of bleeding and what are the rates of complications like stent thrombosis? So the study included a systematic review and meta-analysis of published randomized trials, including four trials with over 10,000 patients. And the primary endpoint was major bleeding and non-major bleeding, as well as stent thrombosis, all-cause mortality, cardiovascular death, stroke, and other events. Dual antiplatelet therapy was associated with a significantly lower risk of major and minor bleeding compared to triples. The hazard ratio 0.66, so about a 35% risk reduction. Contrarywise, the dual strategy, that is just a single antiplatelet agent plus the antithrombotic agent, was associated with a higher risk of stent thrombosis, the hazard rate about 1.59. There was no difference in all-cause death or a composite that included death, stroke, or major adverse cardiovascular events. And they also showed that the novel oral anticoagulants, the direct-acting agents, had a lower risk of intracranial hemorrhage, and that hazard ratio was 0.33. So it's interesting, of course, using this type of strategy in patients who are on anticoagulation. Clearly, the patients who are getting two types of drugs versus three have a lower risk of bleeding. And it's important to note in this analysis, there were 435 major bleeding events versus just 85 stent thrombosis events across the four trials. So even though the dual strategy is associated with increased risk of stent thrombosis, it is a far less common endpoint than major bleeding. So in general, the notion of a dual strategy using a NOAC is probably safest, but for patients who are thought to be at very high risk for stent thrombosis, then the triple antithrombotic therapy, even for a limited period of time, say a month to 3 months, may be prudent. So that's a really nice article in the European Heart Journal. Let's shift gears to an important paper looking at readmission after stroke. Cardiovascular care providers see patients with stroke all the time, and of course, one of the biggest concerns is early readmission with another stroke or some other medical catastrophe. So this was a study published in the journal Stroke looking at the factors associated with 90-day readmission after stroke or TIA, and it examined data from a large number of patients, almost 14,000. And using multivariable analysis from this large registry, the authors were able to get logistic regression models to identify factors that predicted readmission rates after stroke, and particularly that 90-day interval after a TIA or a stroke. The overall cohort, 13,600 patients, 45% women, 65% had an ischemic stroke, 11% an intracranial hemorrhage, 4% undetermined, and 20% had a TIA. Overall, 25% had a readmission, and 15%, one out of six, had a readmission in 90 days. Factors that were associated with that included being female, more comorbidities by the Charleston Comorbidity Index, and interestingly, being discharged to home. Patients who were discharged to home had a hazard rate of about 1.4, higher risk for readmissions. And the authors concluded that first, readmission is common, one out of six within 3 months, which is a lot. And then the question of being discharged directly to home came up. And the authors opined that some of this may have to do with the inpatient rehabilitation, the contact with medical care, making sure that the right processes for improvement are happening physically, nutritionally, medically. But it certainly, I think, is an important thing for us to think about. High readmission rates after TIA and stroke in 90 days really call to mind the need to make sure that whole safety net is established and secure before patients are discharged from the hospital, especially if they're going home. The third article was a randomized trial published this week in The Lancet looking at irbesartan and Marfan syndrome, and it's a double-blind, placebo-controlled randomized trial. Obviously, in genetic aortic disease, there is a dearth of trial evidence, so this is an important paper. And it was done in the United Kingdom. 22 centers randomized patients with Marfan syndrome, a clinical diagnosis. These were young patients aged 6 to 40, and they were all given either 75 milligrams of irbesartan once a day and then randomly assigned to 150 milligrams of irbesartan and then up to 300 milligrams as tolerated or matching placebo. The endpoint was aortic diameter measured at echo and then annually. And there was a core lab with the investigators blinded to the treatment allocation. They followed the patients for 5 years. 192 participants randomly assigned to irbesartan or placebo. Median age was 18. 52% were female. The mean blood pressure was low, 110 over 65. And the mean baseline aortic root diameter was 34.4 millimeters. Over time, the mean aortic growth rate was slower in the irbesartan group, 0.53 millimeter per year versus 0.7 millimeter per year in the placebo group. And that was highly significant. And if you look at what happened at about 5 years, in the irbesartan group, the mean aortic diameter was 37.8 millimeters, and in the placebo group, 39.2. Overall, about 4%, 4 to 5% of the patients in the study ended up needing cardiac surgery. There was a single dissection that occurred in the placebo group. But an important trial that does suggest that irbesartan added to typically beta blockers, 56% of the patients were already on beta blockers, does appear to retard aortic growth rate in young patients with Marfan syndrome. There's been a lot of talk about the role of the ARBs versus the beta blockers, and clearly blood pressure control is king. But this is another trial then suggesting that the ARBs have merit as part of the blood pressure lowering scheme in patients with Marfan, especially young patients where there appears to be an opportunity to adjust the aortic remodeling that happens with that particular genetic condition. So I recorded this podcast on Tuesday, December 17th, and I'll look forward to another podcast next week to review for you the whole year of ACC.org and what we've been trying to accomplish for our learners. I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. You can find these journal scans and articles on our website. Also, look under the educational catalog feature to find meetings and educational offerings that are available for you. And of course, most of them are free. And until we talk next week, I hope you have a great day. Thank you.